I'm happy to be here. I'd like to repeat the words of another fellow about a different trip. God willing, I was going to be here if I had to crawl. I appreciate what has gone before. And I just got a thing or two I want to say to you. If I know my heart, I love you. You remember, though, that all words are evaluated by how much respect you have for the one saying them. And I want you to know that I'm with the thinking. I don't care what you want to call it, but I'm of the opinion that you have been led a long way by a model of love. Not just our Savior, but through His under-shepherds. I guess that's all I need to say. I love what Brother Jesse was preaching to us. I want to, if I can, not improve on what was said, but tell you just another man's way of looking at it. If we conclude that Paul, by Holy Spirit power, was talking to a church like I belong to, we've misunderstood it completely. Got quiet, didn't it? Wasn't loud before then. Huh? That's hard to accept, isn't it? It's hard to believe. Huh? But when he said, "You are our epistle, known and read of all men," it included what they wore, what they said, where they went. Huh? But to be an epistle of one that was persecuted unto death goes beyond that. You comprehend what I'm saying? It goes beyond moral conduct. Huh? Moral conduct is the tip of the iceberg. It's a wonderful thing and a blessed thing. Hey, but being a testimony of how great things God has done for you to the degree that you're willing to give your life for the privilege of giving the testimony is a totally different realm. You follow what I'm saying? That's what Paul was communicating to them. Huh? If I interpret it in my setting with no persecution, I can't touch the hem of the garment of understanding what he was talking about. Huh? If you're going to be the epistle of Paul, how many times are you going to be in prison? For teaching and preaching the things of God. How many times are you going to be persecuted by your quote-unquote friends and neighbors because of how you're throwing your life away in their opinion? You understand what I'm talking about? I don't know much about that experientially, do you? That's the reason I said, talking to a different set of people. They so loved that they sold all they had. Amen? I'm telling you what the Bible says. Amen that, can't you? They sold all they had. And they had. Huh? They had. But they sold all they had. Not because they were told to, but because they wanted to. Because they had a greater goal than dollars and cents. That's the kind of people Paul was talking about and talking to. And that's how he was. You follow me? I think the greatest thing I need is to know my needs. And if I know my needs, I'm going to know who I need. I may not know what I need, but I'll know who I need if I know my needs. You follow me? Faith will never be where there is no need. You can't exercise faith for something you don't need. Huh? Can you? It's interesting to me. These people Paul was writing to were living by faith. That's why they were his epistles. Because that's how he lived. And he was a follower of Christ. And that's how he lived. Huh? And we think going to church once a week is how Christ lived. Is there a discrepancy there somewhere? That given an hour and a half a week in some sort of semblance of devotion to God is what the Lord approves of us doing. And there's nothing greater we can do. Huh? I think they said plane, and I thought they said train, and I missed it. Isn't it interesting to read and study the scripture in the context will tell you that discipleship is not one that just goes to Bible study once a week. It's one that's living a life as a living sacrifice, which is a reasonable service. But if it changes my comfort zone, it's unreasonable. You got it? I know what I'm talking about experientially. I'm not accusing without the experience. But I should not be judging your crop by my half bushel. But beloved, if you read, excuse me, when you read the book of Acts, you read persecution of the church. But the reason the church was persecuted was because the power of Holy Spirit God moved them. How much did they have to be told what to do if they're listening to Holy Spirit God and searching the scriptures daily for about what the preachers preach? You understand what I'm saying? We're supposed to be living in a realm that's beyond Old Testament law service, to where our performance is legal, but not holy. When Paul commanded the Romans, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice," H-O-L-Y, and that includes W-H-O-L-L-Y. You understand? I'm talking about something after 82 years I've finally learned a little bit of what it means if I never practice it. And I can understand a little better why the Apostle Paul said to in every letter that he wrote, "I pray, I beg God for you, I'm repeating a part of my prayer to you. Grace and peace be unto you. Why was that so important? Because they were being persecuted on a constant basis, and they needed the power of God and the peace of God and the known experienced love of God, experiencing the kingdom of God in their life on an ongoing basis. It wasn't something they heard preached about that they didn't experience. It was what the preaching confirmed that they had experienced. You can read that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'm telling you honest. You can go there and prove whether I'm right or wrong. Could I tell you? The church of Christ has never grown without persecution. I'm talking about as a group of people. Why in the world would anybody want to persecute them? Because they're giving a verbal testimony of how great things God has done for them, because they understood what Brother Vince preached last night. They not only believed it, they not only accepted, they understood it, and they enjoyed it so much they wanted others to enjoy it, because they loved them and they knew what it had done for them, and they wanted others to experience what they had experienced by God's power and presence within them. They didn't have to be commanded to do it. They couldn't live without doing it. There is a difference. There is a difference. So don't I need to know what I need? And my need is Him. And if I have enough of Him, I'll be known and read as one of His followers. Not just in the physical footprints or the outward moral practice, but in the living movement of God within. Am I missing it? Let me tell you a little. I think I can tell you a little of what I mean. If you read from Acts chapter 1 through Acts chapter 8, you find some awesome things. You remember on the day of Pentecost? You know what was going on at daybreak? 120, a little handful of people compared to the multitude in Jerusalem, was in an upper room behind closed doors for fear. They were literally hiding for fear. But when there came the sound of a rushing mighty wind, that Joel had told them about, they didn't need any lock on the door. You couldn't keep them inside. That's what we need. It's what we know the preacher needs if he's going to preach. But the miracle is also on the other end, on the hearing. And if he's not there, you missed it. Even if it was preached. And if it wasn't here, it wasn't there for you to get. Isn't that wild? I'm talking about from the pulpit. What do we need? A bank account as high as the ceiling, or the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives? What do we need? I'm ugly, and I know it. And I act ugly because I am. But I want to tell you something. Until preaching is the overflow of the life of the minister, there's something missing. Until his soul is on fire, until he cannot keep his mouth closed, there's something missing. It may be the best sermon in the world. And his ears may get tickled 100 times when it's over. But without the power of Holy Ghost God within it, because that's what he is moved by. Not because he got his lesson, but because the lesson got him. And then it got to you by the same power it got to him. I told you I was ugly, and I approved it. But if you read in the book of Acts, it's an awesome thing. 3,000 in one day. Huh? Whew, that's some busy administrators of baptism, isn't it? Huh? Woo-wee. Yeah. And when you read on in Acts 4, and I know I've missed a lot of them, but howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. What? 3,120 are telling the world how great things God has done for them. They're not afraid to open their mouth. Even though they know they may be treated like Stephen. And they're not partial as to where they open it or to whom, because they love people. Because they've learned that God loved them when they weren't lovely. Your devotion to God will never go beyond your understanding of your depravity. Is that right? If you don't understand your depravity, how are you going to know what God did for you? And if you don't know what he did for you, how are you going to be thankful for what you don't know? And how are you going to prove it if you don't know it? Huh? That's why if you hear the gospel, you can practice it and be saved by it. There was other places here. I don't know if I can find them. I thought I had a mark. Huh? I can't even find the marks now. Huh? In chapter 5, and the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. What's going on here? We're talking about the first New Testament church that we have lineage to. I'm serious about that. We do. We don't necessarily have the same effect on the people we live among as they did. But we have lineage connection. I'm not near the man my daddy was, but I have a blood connection. Oh, listen. Chapter 6 and verse 7, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied. Now, multiplied 8,120, and you can't multiply it by one and come up anything bigger. You got a lot of followers, a lot of lovers, a lot of believers. And guess what? And Paul consenting unto his death, talking about Stephen, Saul consenting unto his death, I read it wrong. Talking about Stephen. At that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over them. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. Huh? I don't lock my doors for I'm afraid somebody's going to come and kill me because I was a testimony of Christ. I may lock them because I think they might come and steal a few dollars I got in my pocket. Huh? I like what I heard a man say. He said, the preaching in America don't scare Americans. Regardless of what kind it is, it don't scare them. But if they find out that the computers in Washington are not going to generate their checks. That'll scare them to death. Am I right? 2000 proved it. We're 16 years past that, ain't we? Huh? Isn't that wild? And therefore, they were scattered abroad, they who? Except the apostles. And went everywhere preaching the word. I said that last time I was here. I'm saying it again. If the only preachers are those that are ordained pastors of churches, there's going to be very little preaching going on in the world. The confirmation that the church hears from the pulpit is an outgrowth of his experience of what the church is experiencing, which is persecution for the testimony of Christ. Sure is quiet. I'm talking about what the first church experienced. And it grew. I just read you that. Huh? But there was a price for the growing to the flesh. It cost us something in our Adam nature to be a follower of Christ. I said all that. Didn't even need to be said. But I wanted to say it, and I'm glad you didn't reject it or me. Now I want to swap horses in the middle of the stream. I don't need talking like that now, is there? Change computers in a business deal or something. I don't know how you talk about that. But I don't know how to express it. But I want to thank all of you who have prayed for me in the loss of Mama. And give a thought about us. I want to tell you a little bit about the Lord's dealing with us. Is that okay? Yes. Paul told his experiences. Brother Jesse read some of them. It's all through the New Testament. That's what most of the Bible is. Experiences of God's people with God. Yes. Good or bad, up or down. So that's what the Bible basically is. Mom and I loved each other when we were children. Seriously. By the time she was in the 9th grade, I wanted to see her every day of my life. Yeah. And it was mutual. We dated each other for 4 years. Never another boy, never another girl involved. Just we two. And we believed that we should get married. We did. 1952. That's antique, ain't it? We got married. We rode the same school bus 12 years. Graduated from the same school. Went together 4 years. Got married. Lived together 63 years. And one evening, Mama said, you know, we're retarded, live out on a farm in the country. Brother Wayne Edgerton calls it the hideout. He said, you're out here because the law can't find you out here. But we were out there where we could listen to the birds and the coyotes and the cattle. And they didn't belong to us. But anyway, we lived there free of charge. Grace of the Honeycutts. But Mom said on one Monday evening, 22nd of February, Daddy, I've got 15 old hens, And our granddaughter Carrie over at Malvern has got 9 roosters. And she said we can have 1 or all 9 of them. She said, I'd like to have 1 so I could raise some baby chickens. Isn't that wild? I said, Mama, I'm ready. When you get ready, we'll go get a rooster. We never got there. About halfway over, we stopped behind a pickup, we stopped behind a car, we stopped behind a school bus that was letting children off. And all of a sudden, a 1-ton truck hit us from behind. Folded that Silverado up like an accordion with us in it. Tore up the Silverado in front of us and the car in front of it. Never touched the school bus. The man put on the accident report that he did his best to avoid us. Hit us dead center in the back with 2 lanes on both sides to avoid us. I think he may have been cell phoning. I don't know that. But you understand. But that evening, 4:14, February 22nd, I looked over at Mama when I could consciously know what was going on. And I knew it wasn't good. I knew Mama was hurt bad. Yet at the same time, I got out of the pickup on my side, just opened the door and got out. Went around to try to help her. Couldn't get her door open. Man helped me get her door open. The last word she said to me was, Daddy, I can't breathe. I want to tell you a little bit of how deep that went. For about the last 20 years, Mama's habit was, she would get up of a morning, go into the kitchen, make her a cup of coffee, put some cappuccino in it, go sit down in the recliner, and read her Bible for at least an hour. And when I would wander into the living room from wherever I was or had been, quite often she would say, Daddy, I've been reading here, such and such place. I don't really understand. Would you tell me what you think it means? Did you get that? Will you tell me what you think it means? She understood me. You get it? She knew me well. And sometimes that discussion would go on till after lunchtime. No breakfast, no lunch, 1 o'clock or so. I'm telling you, though we were together physically for years and emotionally and family-wise and religiously, somebody said, I'm going to pay my debts religiously. Please don't pay them religiously. If you're as unfaithful at paying your debts as you are to religion, that's going to be a problem. But we loved each other. Maybe that goes without saying now. But Mama loved me when I was not lovable. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not trying to deceive you. She loved me when I was not lovable. And we were together. About 43 years before she started reading her Bible on a visible basis with me present and in the living room and every day of the world. Lord have mercy. I want to testify to you that God, by His grace, through that woman, taught me what love was about. And I thought about it. Do you know who Jesus taught first when He came to the world? And even before He came to the world, He taught His wife first. You say His children. His children, but specifically and primarily His wife. His bride. His Old Testament bride and His New Testament bride. Same woman. Different way of worship. Enough about that. I discovered that the pastor-teacher is to begin at home. Huh? Teaching his wife. You say, boy, that's egotistical. Not if you love God and your wife. You follow what I'm saying? I'm trying to tell you how great things God did for us. And through this searching the Scripture together and trying to learn, Lord, what are You telling us? Where are we missing it? Help us, Lord, to understand that we may love Thee more and be willing to give ourselves. Lord of mercy, that woman was already doing that. But it trickles down, you know, or up, whichever way you want to call it. But God Almighty glued us together by that method. Could I recommend it to all of you and to those that are not there yet? Huh? I recommend it. If you don't know how God can put you together by searching His Word together, don't knock it till you try it. Been there, done that, got the T-shirt. But I lost Mama in the process. Lord, have mercy. Most horrible thing I've ever experienced in my life. But God was so merciful. I've learned things about Him since Mama passed that I never dreamed I would ever learn. I didn't know I needed to. I didn't know it was there to be learned. But I learned how the righteous are removed and they avoid the evil that's coming. That's what the book says. I can't tell you what, but it's in there. Look at it. Lord, have mercy. I want to be brutally honest with you. My wife is 6 feet underground in the casket in body. But in spirit and soul, she is blessed. Huh? She's with the Lord continually. I would like to be once in a while. But she's with Him continually. She's the blessed one. And I'm still here stumbling around in the dark. I don't know why in the world I got out and walked around the pickup to help Mama, and Mama couldn't get out of the pickup. Mama couldn't breathe. But God preserved her for me and her to communicate from about 3 a.m. on Monday morning or Tuesday morning until about 1:15 on Thursday morning, day and night. I never got sleepy. I got weary sometimes, but I never got sleepy. I'd walk over to her hospital bed. She could not move below her neck, and I'd embrace her head in my arms, and I would kiss her across the forehead. I told it, I think, in, at her services, that if I'd have been wearing lipstick, it would have been that thick on her forehead. I'm telling you honestly, I poured out my soul to God. I begged Him to let Mother and my wishes be performed. We wanted to go together. We wanted to die together. We wanted to be buried in the same casket. We wanted to be put in the same hole. We wanted to turn back to the dust together and go be with God together. But God didn't answer my prayer the way I wanted it answered. That'll tell you a lot about me. But I'm telling you, when I held her like that all hours of the day and night, I talked to her. I said, Mama, when I kiss you across the forehead and down your nose and kiss you on your lips beside those tubes that's running down your throat, and you wiggle your lips as I kiss you on your lips, I understand, Mama, what you're saying to me. You're saying, Daddy, I love you. I love you. And it's loud and clear, and I understand it, Mama. Believe me, I understand that you love me. And I can't say that in words great enough to express how I feel. But at the same time, when I would tell her that, I'd say, Mama, it don't look like God's going to let me go with you. But I can tell you one thing. One of these days before long, I'll be with you. Huh? Amen. I'll be with our Savior. I'll be with you. And I will love you more than you and I could imagine that we loved each other now. And we'll love everybody else the same. Huh? Yeah. And everybody else will love us the same. Isn't that wild? You can't improve on that, beloved. Huh? It's awesome to me. God Almighty has been so good. So absolutely beyond anything I could ask or think. But I've said all that at least in part to say this. My beloved companion died on that ICU bed. She was not persecuted unto death because she was living so godly that the world hated her. She died simply because she was a sinner by nature. She died in hope. She died loving God. She died with a multitude of friends and loved ones. But Stephen died because he was a Christian. He couldn't have died if he hadn't been a sinner. But the reason he was killed was because they hated his testimony. And he loved not his life unto death. I'm trying to say, if that was the Lord's church today, we would experience God daily in a totally different realm of experience. And that's what the kingdom of God is. God's children's experience with their Father, with His Son, with the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you a little bit. I'm not going to try to tell you something that you don't already know. But I want to tell you, the love of God cannot be offended. How easily we are offended is a temperature gauge of our love of God, for God, by the grace of God. Love cannot be offended because it loves the offender when it's one of God's children. Understand? And when we are born of love, what kind of nature do we have? Huh? Is it God's nature? And God is? God is love. You can't say it right. Huh? All of us saying it at the same time and the whole world saying it. Couldn't say it right. Couldn't say it loud enough. Couldn't say it clear enough. Couldn't mean it enough. Don't understand it enough. But love is of God, for God is love. That's what He is. That's who He is. That's what He's always been. That's what He'll always be. Could I tell you that this love of God, and I can't quote it, so I'll have to turn and read it. And most all of you are familiar with it. Oh me, I can't even think where I am. In Hebrews 13, you know where I'm going. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. That great shepherd of the sheep we heard about last night. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Huh? Now let's go beyond the words on the page. Okay? Let's don't get away from them. We're going to operate within them, but we want it to be more than just words on a page. That's what I'm talking about. I understand that this God of peace is the God that Paul was talking to about to most of the churches that I mentioned a while ago. Grace and peace be unto you. That this peace, this God of peace, is the God who has blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, and that's why you have peace. But you can't have the peace without the grace. Huh? Are you following me? You see what a salutation he's giving? Grace and peace from God our Father. He's praying that all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus will be experienced by these people. Isn't that awesome? Oftentimes we say, Lord, you know who all I need to pray for. Grant the request of my heart. This man was spending time on his knees, praying to God that he had experienced of by grace and peace. And he said, that brought again from the dead. That means two times at least. The again means at least two times. Huh? Could I say to you, my understanding of the scripture is that the bodily resurrection of Christ had nothing to do with the atoning work of Christ. But it is the second witness and a great confirmation to us who think in the flesh that we will be, that our bodies will be raised. Because His atonement was completed. Huh? He ascended up, having obtained, past tense, eternal redemption for us. Lord have mercy. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. That physical death had nothing, no effect on the atonement of God for his elect. They didn't kill him. They couldn't. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Not because he had to, but because God had blessed him with the power to, and he said, it is finished, to his Father. That was after God had raised him one time while he was on the tree. Because when the Father made his Son, can you imagine love making love to be sin for us, his Son, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And when he suffered what we deserve to suffer in our room instead, now the law of God against us is satisfied before God by his Son Jesus. Not the deity of the Word, but the man Christ Jesus. You follow me? And when that law of God was satisfied, and there is nothing that can be laid to our charge because Christ paid the debt and God does the saving, and that's our blessing because God is love. And when he so loved us that he would make his Son to be sin, that he might suffer the eternal damnation that we deserved in our place. Remember this. If you think you were born again before the foundation of the world, Christ died in vain. Can you follow that? Because if you didn't need to be saved, God did a horrible thing in what he made his Son to be. If you were never in danger, he couldn't save you from something. I'm sorry, but our people have the idea oftentimes that they were born again before the foundation of the world. Sorry about that. You were a covenant child before the foundation of the world, but you were not a vital child. And this God has brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. In the Old Testament scripture, it tells us that the life of the flesh is in the blood. It also tells us that the life of the flesh is the blood thereof. The blood is representative of our life. When they drained the blood of the two goats in Leviticus 16, and those two, one goat, sorry about that, who represented our Lord Jesus Christ, the life of that goat was no longer there. You're breaking bread in your communion service. I want to know when he tells us this is his body. I want to know where he was broken, unless he was broken from being a holy child of Mary to being made sin for us. You can't break any more broke than that. Because there was not a bone of his body broken. Consider what I say, and the Lord give the understanding to where you can help me. God bless you.